It's time for Apple Farm Chatter, your podcast for all things Apple Farm Service, the latest ag news, dealership events, and upcoming trends. Put on your work clothes. Apple Farm Chatter begins now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Apple Farm Chatter. Myself, Kent Holmes, joined with Travis. How are you doing, Travis?
Doing well, Kent.
Awesome. And we have a special episode today. We are going undercover crops, and today we're going to be joined today by Michael Watercutter with Mercer Landmark. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, so we had an interesting topic to cover today, one that farmers, some of you might know about, some might be the first time you're kind of getting more in depth with it, and a second topic which a lot of you probably are not that well in depth with. Today we're talking cover crops, and we're going to talk about carbon credits with Mr. Michael. So I guess first off, Michael, thanks for joining us.
Yep, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, and excited to talk a little bit more about carbon credits and cover crops.
Yeah, so I guess we should start off, Michael, I mentioned Mercer Landmark, but what do you do over there?
So yeah, I'm a conservation agronomist. I am technically an employee of American Farmland Trust through a grant in partnership with Mercer Landmark. I look like a Mercer Landmark employee 99% of the time, so.
Well, you're wearing the Mercer shirt.
Yep.
You got the hat, so you fooled us.
You're properly branded.
Right, yeah.
You're going undercover.
Yep. So, my position is kind of funded through National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. I've been with Mercer Landmark AFT for just over 2.5 years now in this position, and we'll be going on another 3 years with the conservation agronomist at Mercer Landmark. So a lot of my position is kind of helping educate growers on cover crops, soil health, anything that we have available in programs through our partnership with TruTerra, which is a Land O'Lakes sustainability branch. So we work with them closely on just different avenues for incentives on cover crops, educational events on soil health, and then carbon marketing as well. And I also do just helping guys get familiar with different mixes of cover crops. Why do we want to use this certain cover crop versus another? Make sure we have the right blends and make sure we have a good plan ahead of planting the cover crop and terminating it. So we just do kind of a well-rounded of things around that. So
kind of sounds like anything at all to do with anything you're wondering about, just ask you, it sounds like, and you'll be able to get to the right person too.
Anything around sustainability, cover crops, soil health, reduced tillage, that's kind of my main points for Mercer Landmark customers.
Okay, okay. Well, I think we're going to start you off with a quick docu-series that we created for the point of view from the weed.
Yep.
And then we come back from that, we will dive right into cover crops. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I guess I've always been an outcast.
We don't want you here. Get out of our yard.
I've been able to make my way over the years, but it's getting tougher now.
No room here. All taken by sunflowers. Best be on your way now.
A new docuseries following the life of a single thistle just trying to blow with the wind.
What a spot taken by that blade of ryegrass. Sorry, kid.
The weed has always gotten a bad rap, but with the practice of cover crops, good luck catching any breaks.
Streaming late fall across most major fields. Cover Up, the cover crop story. Your chance to experience life from the side of the weeds.
I just don't know how much longer I can hold on. I guess for now, I'll just keep moving on.
Such a sad, sad story.
It's getting harder and harder for Mr. Weed between herbicides and between cover crops. And
it's not good for them.
It's not good for them. It's good, but we thought that would be a good leeway into cover crops. Yeah. So I guess we should start, Michael. Most farmers have heard of cover crops, but I guess for the handful of those that are maybe listening that don't farm, but they just came across this podcast and they're wanting to learn more, 30,000-foot view, what is a cover crop?
So really, cover crop is, you know, the first reason that we've kind of really got into using cover crops is to try to help control erosion. And the second part is, you know, more about weed suppression. So it's a specific plant that we put out there for a specific reason. So a lot of grass cover crops we use We use it for some erosion control and try to help with weed suppression. Some other cover crops like radishes, rapeseed, clovers, we use that for more nitrogen, creating nitrogen in the soil, nutrient scavenging. So cover crop can be used for many different reasons. But really the first reasons that we started using more of the cover crops has been soil erosion control and probably weed suppression.
Okay. I mean, when did you start seeing, or before your time, I guess, when did cover crops really start coming about?
You have guys that have been using cover crops since, probably back in the 70s or 90s. But really, cover crops have really started to come around here in the 2010s. We started using cover crops on my own farm here in about 2015, 2014. We started dabbling into it. And currently now we've been full no-till, full cover crops since 2018. So every acre in our farm gets a cover crop and it's no-tilled.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned all the different reasons why it would be important to set erosion control. And I think that's a big one. We had a massive drought. And then how many inches of rain did we get a week ago?
Oh, a lot.
I mean,
yeah, I think anywhere from 2.5 to almost 4 inches in some areas. So.
Yeah, in which it was a long rain, but then you look at what happened over in, unfortunately, with the right. Carolinas.
Yep.
And that, and you look at all the flood water that happened from that. I mean, from when you've done studies, have you guys come up with a firm number how much cover crops help compared to traditional tillage when it comes to erosion?
I can't give you a straight up number on how much, we're saving at the end of the day on a cover crop versus the tillage. But, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, the slake test at all, to where you can take a clod of soil that has been more conventionally tilled versus a no-till and cover crop clod of soil. You drop it in some water and you watch how fast that water slakes off, and the slower it slakes off, the more aggregates, the more mycorrhizae fungi you have in the field, the more healthy your soil is, the less your soil is going to slake off and go to the bottom in that soil. It absorbs that water quickly. With more conventional soil, it'll start slaking off quick. The water will turn muddy, really brown, and that water is just not, or that soil is just not able to handle that much water at one time. So a good example on one of my farms and some other farms we've done some research on, before we did no-till and cover crops, it was able to hold about an inch to inch and a half of rainfall in an hour. Now some of these soils are able to hold 4.5 to 6 inches of rainfall in a 1 hour period. So just because we've reduced our tillage, gone to either no-till or just some vertical tillage with the adoption of some cover crops, we've been able to really help with the water infiltration and the water holding capacity in that field.
Which to me, that seems to make a lot of sense the way these weather patterns have been. I mean, look at what's happened the last couple of years. We've right. had periods of drought, followed by rapid periods of rain, followed by another long period of drought.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. If you have something that can hold that 4 inches of rain or 6 inches of rain that we got 2 weeks ago,
right
here in Ohio and a little bit of Indiana, if you can have that, hold that when we have this dry spell, especially if it's going to be a dry winter, when you want to get that
right,
when you really want to get that water table and subsoil.
Yeah, I wish we could just get it, an inch over a 24-hour period or 2 inches over a 36-hour period, but it seems like sometimes we get 4 inches in 25 minutes. So yeah. Anything that we can do to help keep that soil in place is money back in our pocket by not seeing it go down the stream and down the ditches.
Yeah. And so Travis and I were researching, and I guess, Travis, you were looking, how many types of cover crops did you see when you were
Oh, there was a huge list. One even sent me that I saw some entries that I didn't even see. There's clover, there's rye, and there's radishes that I saw pop out primarily.
Yeah.
But then you had sunflowers. I mean, there's a huge list. And I'm looking at Ohio State, the extension has a nice long list of all these different yep. cover crops, but it's almost too much. So, I mean, what do you suggest if someone's saying, I'm interested in going to cover crops, what should I do? Because you said there's different cover crops for every type of situation.
Yes.
If I'm a farmer, where should I go? What should I do?
that start simple, start small, and start with cereal rye. That is something that is can grow on top of a table with a little bit of water, and it'll grow. And it's also something that's very easy to kill. I would just go out there and either drill it or spread it on with some potash, 30 pounds to the acre or so, and start out with that. Plant beans into it, or kill it early if that's what you want to do. Plant beans into it later. But start simple, start small. Don't go out and do half of your farm or your whole farm into cereal rye for the first time. I recommend also, you know, if you want to just start out with not planting green, which a lot of guys get a little nervous when you see 5 foot tall cereal rye out there and you want to plant into it. So if you want to kill it off a little earlier in the spring, you can. But cereal rye is really the best one to kind of just start out with. Easy to establish and easy to kill.
The beginner, basically. Yep.
Yeah.
And then all the way back up to if you've been doing it for multiple years, we can do 5, 10-way, 12-way blend of cover crop mixes. So.
Okay. And I know, I mean, Apple Farm Service, we have lots of different equipment that can help you facilitate switching over with cover crops. For traditional grain farmers who's used to conventional tillage with their equipment, I mean, is there a lot of conversion that they need to do to be able to do cover crops?
I know a lot of people don't have drills anymore, so that's something that I recommend mostly on planting cover crop. Drill is going to be the best thing, but obviously not everybody has one or the capability to have another person running another piece of equipment through the field. So having your local co-op, like Marshall Landmark, to be able to spread some cereal rye or spread some wheat, barley, even radishes, depending on the time of the year, with some potash to help carry it through, apply that. And then if you do have vertical tillage, you can do that right off, right behind it, or just let it on top and let it grow. So if you have some, I know there's all kinds of different cover crop attachments you can do on a combine or a vertical tillage tool on top of that. So there's quite a few different avenues and quite a few different equipment that you can look at to, you know, get your cover crop out.
Yeah, and I know we here at Apples, we have sold plenty of vertical tillage pieces that have the spreaders with it for cover crop or the back of the combine. We've seen that. And then, of course, we rent seeders. So I know it's a pretty popular time for us come spring and come after if they're not doing winter wheat, where they can come and they can rent seeders from us, different sizes to help them out, seeders and overseeders. But end of the day, you're saying for farmers out there, they should not be trying to do cover crops with the 15-inch bean planter is what you're saying.
Probably not. You know, if that's what you have and you have the discs that were able to handle some of those seeds, then, you know, more power to you. But drill, broadcasting on, or even aerial application with a drone or a plane works just fine too. With the broadcasting it and aerial applications, you know, Mother Nature kind of, you never know when it's going to rain, but a timely rain ahead of or right after planting that with an aerial application broadcast would be great. So
yeah. I mean, we even have, I think, our Helio drones. You can even get broadcast seeders on them too. So there's lots of options out there. And I know you mentioned erosion, nutrient, weed control, and they're saying, great, it holds water. It might hold some nutrients in. It might break up ground. But is there also any other financial benefit for doing cover crops out there?
Once you get a little bit more into it, you get more comfortable, we can bump up some of those seeding rates. You know, right now on our farm, we plant about 55 pounds of cereal rye per acre, which controls a lot of our weeds. So you can see a little bit more benefits about not having to use as much chemicals or some residuals in some of your passes with that mat of a cereal rye on there. And then we can look at just scavenging nutrients. So if you do some different mixes on the farm using, hairy vetch is a great nitrogen fixation cover crop and also helps mineralize phosphorus as well. And there's a whole bunch of other cover crops we can get into, but some of those, you know, they just really absorb up those nutrients in the soil that are not really able to be used right off the bat. As it starts to decompose and go back into the soil, it'll be ready for your cash crop to use. So there's quite a few different benefits that we can look at. Everything from erosion, water infiltration, to weed suppression, to nutrient mineralization. So
okay. I feel like that's good leeway into when we switch over and a little bit over to carbon credits. But Travis, you put something together I think fits in well with what Michael's talking about when it comes to getting some money back with cover crops.
Yeah, I was saying Hollywood actually expressed some interest into it. We'll say there's a little trailer that we made in the theme for cover crops and spying. So, Hollywood, $3 million.
Here we go.
No negotiation.
We're pitching this.
In a world where soil is pushed to its limits and weeds run wild and unchecked, only one team can stop the madness from reaching the heartland. They are the Undercover Crops. Meet the agents who will stop at nothing to save the soil. Name, Crimson Clover. Codename, The Fixer.
I don't just fix the nitrogen, I control it.
Wherever nitrogen is missing, she's already there.
They say nitrogen's elusive, but not when I'm on the case.
But Clover can't do it alone. Enter Radish. Codename, The Deep Digger.
I don't do shallow. I go deep enough to break toughest compaction. You got hard soil? I've got hard roots.
Radish doesn't just break the ground. He breaks expectations.
I don't do surface level ever.
Then there's Rye. Codename, The Shield.
Weeds? Not on my watch. They're gonna wish they never germinated.
Rye stops weeds like they owe him money.
Cover crops don't get days off, and neither do I.
Nope.
Together, these cover crops form an alliance like no other.
Time to fix some nitrogen.
Let's break some ground.
Weeds, are you even trying?
But a new menace threatens the heartlands.
I'll strip this soil bare, and nothing will be left. Not even your precious little nitrogen.
Oh no, not this guy again.
This guy's compacted my last nerve.
We're gonna bury him, literally.
This fall, the greatest soil-saving mission begins.
Together we are Undercover
Crops.
Saving the world, one field at a time. This fall, the Undercover Crops are coming to a field near you for the heartland. For your fields, and for you.
What do you think, Hollywood? They'll take it?
That was great. I'd watch it.
You'd watch it? Good!
First endorsement.
First endorsement. There we go. Michael Watercutter says that he will endorse
he
it.
He would watch
good.
It.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
start crowdfunding. Put the first $5 in for us.
There we go. Got it.
We'll give you a free box of popcorn. But so I think we get cover crops, how important they are, and then it kind of leans over something that's new that farmers have. It hasn't been around since the 70s or 90s, like you mentioned, cover crops, carbon credits.
And this is where I start to learn things.
This is just so new, and it's so interesting, and it's kind of like the Wild West.
It sure is.
So I guess what someone who's heard not know much about it, what is a carbon credit?
So we look at the soil, we look at, you know, tillage and cover crops would be the two biggest things, and we just kind of see how much carbon are we sequestrating in the soil at that point in time. So we know that when we do a lot of tillage, we release that carbon up into the atmosphere, and when we do reduce tillage and we have something growing out in the field continuously, that we're grabbing that carbon and putting it back into the soil. So I guess the quick and easy way to say is, you know, tillage would be the biggest culprit to letting your carbon out into the atmosphere. So we want to see reduced tillage or no-till in those situations. That can get you eligible for a carbon credit. And then kind of the cover crop is the cherry on top. It gets you a little bit more bump on top of that and see a little bit more return going back to, you know, more financial benefits on cover crops is, you know, a little bit more of a incentive on your carbon credit.
Okay. It's just a new mindset. Because when you say you're releasing carbon by tilling, and I think a lot of people are like, well, I drive my car. Yeah, I see exhaust goes up. Yep. There it goes. You know, they're burning oil. Yeah, I get it. It's, you know, there's smoke. It's going up. It's going to, but tillage. Well, it's just dirt, right? So I guess explain that. What do you mean by when you till, you're releasing carbon?
Yep, so when we're doing tillage, your soil respiration kind of goes up. You're putting oxygen into the soil, and in turn, that carbon is just being released. That carbon monoxide dioxide is getting released up into the atmosphere. So by doing that reduced tillage, we're keeping it down into the soil. By adding that living root year-round, we're collecting that out of the atmosphere, a lot of that CO2 out of the atmosphere, and putting it back out down into the soil where we really want to keep it and create a healthier soil with that carbon there. In turn, our mycorrhizae fungi are going to increase, our bacteria is going to increase within the soil, and all kinds of benefits are going to happen by keeping that carbon in the soil, not being released into the atmosphere.
Okay. And I guess I'm going to put you on the spot. I said you didn't have to prepare, and then I'm going to throw something at you.
Yeah.
So you might have this. So if I have just a field and I'm doing a conventional tillage, do they have a number out there that kind of like, on average, someone who tills per acre or 100 acres, whatever measurement, how much carbon is being released when I do that?
I'm sure there's a number out there. I don't know that specific number. But when we do a reduced tillage or no-till with a little bit of cover crop on top of that, we can see a carbon sequestration within Ohio at about a 1.1, 1.2 tons of carbon per acre stored into the soil.
Okay.
As we get into more full no-till and maybe a little bit more diverse cover crop mix, we can see that number go up.
Okay.
So within your first couple years is where you're really going to see your carbon sequestration ramp up fast.
Yeah. I mean, we just do the math. You said, you know, an acre, they normally sequester, you said like a 0.1 of a ton?
1.1 tons.
1.1
yes,
tons
sorry.
Per acre. Oh, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
so, I mean, if you do this for 500 acres, I mean, 550 tons of carbon, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It adds up.
So
I guess at this point, would you mind telling the people at home how much carbon is actually in one carbon credit?
Yeah, so on a lot of carbon marketing, we pay on a per ton basis. So per metric ton, right now, usually that number is about a $30 per metric ton payment out there. So again, right now, within Mercer Landmark's footprint in the carbon marketing program that we use with Truterra, we averaged over about 5,000 acres. We averaged about a 1.12 metric tons of carbon per acre on that. So we actually ramped up this year. We went from about just under 5,000 acres in year one, year two of having a carbon market to up to a little over 25,000 acres in this past year. So we'll get a lot better number, a lot better kind of over the whole Ohio into Indiana kind of footprint on a carbon sequestration. We're pretty excited to come here in December. We'll be sending out a lot of contracts with the payments out there, and we'll see some hopefully happy customers on that. So
yeah, I mean, it's a nice little bump if the way the markets are, you know, what recently corn went up just a tiny bit, but probably by the time this podcast release, it'll go back down.
Yeah.
Sadly how it is. So yeah. I mean, having a little bump, anything helps.
Yeah, so right now we have a carbon program that pays by the acre, but we're also looking at ways to pay by the bushel. We do have a wheat sustain program, so if you have wheat within your rotation, that's a kind of a soil health benefit as well, having more crops grown out there. There's an incentive on that. Through kind of not really a carbon payment, but kind of like a carbon payment on the bushel. And also kind of talking about carbon intensity scores, your CI score. With these new tax credits coming with the 45Z and the ethanol plants, they'll be paying via by the bushel. That's a whole nother thing that we can dive into as well. But just knowing what your carbon intensity score is, and then once we kind of know how to collect that data, how to quantify that score, we can figure out what your score is. It's kind of like golf. The lower your score, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of in turns, we want to see where these ethanol plants are going to be at, these biofuel places are going to be at, and how much they're actually going to return back to the farmer on a per bushel basis. So right now, we don't know how to exactly quantify that CI score. There's a lot of people out there that say they can or are asking for payments out there to get your CI score. Just be cautious of that. But you know, we're getting close on being able to know exactly how we're going to quantify that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I know So if I'm a farmer, I'm listening, and I'm somewhat skeptical. I say, well, I need to run the numbers.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned roughly you have a program with Mercer. It's paying roughly about $30 a ton.
$30 per metric ton. Yeah.
$30 per ton, and then so that's with the program that you have, and then so even that alone, if I were to do that for 500 acres, that's 550 tons. You know, and I said, okay, I'm going to go, you know, $30. I mean, that's $16,500. And then, you know, you think how much?
And also, on your first year, we do pay back 3 years worth of carbon sequestration.
Oh, really?
So in year one,
wow.
You know, like this past year, we are going to be paying on 23, 22, and 21.
Okay.
So depending on kind of where you're at in your cover crop soil health journey, if you just started within the last 3 years, you're probably going to see a pretty good ramp in carbon sequestration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've been doing it for 10, 15, 20 plus years, your carbon sequestration has kind of stopped and kind of not plateaued, but you're not getting that really ramp of carbon being sequestrated in the field. So if you've just been starting here the last year, two or three, this would be a great time to get into a carbon market, a carbon payment. Because you'll see a really good benefit out of that.
Yeah. I mean, when you look, gosh, $30, now you're saying times three, $90 an acre, you know. So, I mean, roughly, if you have 500 acres, you could be getting almost $50,000 that first year. So, you know, I know you might have to get a seeder, but you can rent one from us, or you mentioned Mercer Landmark or other co-ops nearby probably can offer that service as well. So you're just out really their time or the rental time in the seed. So, really, it sounds like that plus in the long term, saving your topsoil and holding in water, it really is a benefit.
And also on that too is you can get state funding, federal funding on cover crop seeding as well. So even if you are in a carbon program, you can be in H2 Ohio and get a cover crop payment through that. You can work with Mercer Landmark. We've offered different USDA cover crop programs that pay on a per acre basis. And, you know, NRCS also has different cover crop programs as well that you can be paid on, too. So you can get a lot of that cover crop and that application paid for via some state and federal funding as well if you do need some help with that. And maybe you want to take advantage of two programs on top of each other.
Okay. So what you're saying is you can baseline maybe 30 an acre, but there's also programs you can kind of add on to as well.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So even more than that, and I guess one naysayer that's listening to this, who's always been doing conventional, is going to say, that's great, okay, but how is this going to affect, I get it's going to keep water in, it could, you know. Have you seen studies, has it really hurt yields or enhanced yields when it comes to corn and beans? What have you seen?
It's a good question. So we've done multiple different studies. We're going to be really ramping into some of the research here, hopefully. We'll have a cover crop research plot at Mercer Landmark that we're going to do some multiple year studies on that as well. That's actually going to be currently get plant into wheat, and then we're going to do a 8 to 10 way blended cover crop mix, plant corn into it, take that corn off, plant rye, beans. So it's going to be a multiple year process. So we'll have some answers here on that a little bit down the road. But, you know, year one, year two, you're going to see a little bit of differences within your soil, within the crops. But at the end of the day, you need to look at the return on investment. And I know we really harp on yield, and yields yield. You know, at the end of the day, it's kind of what we're banking on. But we need to look at the return on investment. So if we do have a slight decrease in yield, where do we save at? Did we not have to do as many passes over the field with tillage? How much diesel fuel did we save on that? Did we save anything on herbicide application costs? You know, yes, we do have some seed costs with that, running over that field with application or paying somebody to do it as well. But usually year two, year three, especially year three, you're really going to start to see your soil health benefits out of that. You're really going to see the water infiltration help, the nutrient scavenging that's been happening with some of those cover crops and the reduced tillage on there. So usually I tell people year two, year three, depending on kind of where you're at on tillage and your cover crop journey, but that's when you're really going to start to see some big benefits down on that time frame.
Okay, and so if I'm listening to this, because you mentioned, oh, there's a program through Mercer, there's a program through the state, and Travis and I, how much fun did you have trying to figure out all these programs and where to get them?
Oh, I lost chunks of hair trying to figure out. You can tell that there are huge bald spots right now.
Because we noticed it is the Wild West. I mean, you mentioned there's private companies that offer this. The state offers this. You mentioned Mercer Landmark with the company that you work with, sounds like, as a private company. Yeah. So is there an easy way to kind of walk yourself through which ones I can apply for and the steps? Or what would you suggest someone listening who just wants to learn more to start the journey to see if it's worth it for their farm in the long run? Where should they go? What should they do?
So, yeah, to kind of clarify a little bit on the programs, you know, carbon is not anything to deal with any government or state funding at all. So that's a private funded program. A lot of the cover crop programs can either be state funded or privately funded as well. So, but really to get started is if your co-op has a conservation agronomist like myself, that would be the first place to really start out with on trying to figure out what programs you can work with on top of each other, or which programs do you want to do that help out with the financial side of things. So talking to somebody like myself to be able to walk you through, you know, are you in H2 Ohio? Can you be a part of a carbon program? Are you part of another carbon program? You just got to look at, I try to stay up to date on everything, and I do a pretty good job of staying up to date. But as you can see, I have some gray hairs on my chin, on my beard. So it's kind of an ever-changing world. Like you said, it's the Wild Wild West. But at Mercer Landmark and Truterra, we do a very simple, very easy walkthrough on how to get started and get things rolling through that. So I know some of your local agencies, you know, Soil and Water and NRCS can help you with the cover crop side of things as well. But having a conservation agronomist in your area that can help you with cover crops, carbon, soil health, that's going to be the biggest helpful tool in your pocket trying to get into the journey of reduced tillage cover crops and carbon crediting. So
okay. It's a lot, and if you seem overwhelmed, it sounds like the short answer is ask Michael. If you live in this area, you can ask Michael, or if you don't live in this area, reach out to your co-op and see if they have someone who does what Michael does with conservation.
Yeah. Somebody out there has to know how to help you. That's what we're trying to say.
Yep. There's somebody out there. You can find them. They'll be out there to help you. So
awesome. Now, we wanted to leave you with, we have a quick...
Quick little game
for you before we take off.
Another second movie trailer to listen to that I can endorse.
This time. We used up all our crowdfunding for that one. So, like you said, you're interested. So put some money in, and we'll maybe we'll make a sequel too. So, are you ready for your game?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you so much for taking the time to appear on our latest episode of Apple Farm Chatter. And because we like your style so much, we thought we'd let you win a couple of prizes. In order to claim your prize, you need to pick the right key to unlock our giant gold safe that we just wheeled in.
This wonderful
you can choose from right any here. Of the keys presented to you. One of these keys will open up the safe where your glorious prize awaits you. But the other keys unlock a ticket on the 1015 to Loser Town. Are you sure that's the key you want?
Oh, which one? 1, 2, 3.
Two.
Okay.
The old one.
Well, if you put it in the safe, you'll see that you've chosen correctly and have won the earth-changing gift of a box of barley.
That's nice.
Right. With this exquisite prize, you can really step up your culinary game. Cook them in a microwave, toss them in the oven, or create a masterpiece that you can decorate with the raw barley. We know that a prize like this is quite exciting, so we'll also throw in an Apple Farm Service branded tumbler. That way you can stay hydrated as you start conquering the culinary world. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for our grand prize winner one more time. And congratulate them on their brand new box of barley.
Woo! Apparently barley's not as popular as I thought when I went to pick it up. That was the first one to take off the shelf. So I think the expiration date's still good on it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, barley lasts forever, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, you're good. Make some soup with it.
I'll say, and we do have the tumbler. We'll just give it to you when we actually have access to it.
Yeah. All right.
Perfect.
We're not gaslighting you, we swear.
Well, Michael, we really do appreciate you taking the time, coming here, talking to us about cover crops and carbon credits. I think, Travis, you learned something new today.
I'm sure I did.
I did. There's no quiz, so don't worry. But
I appreciate you having me here, and excited to hear any input that you guys have, and hopefully you guys learned something today.
So. Yeah, we did. We hope you that are listening will learn a little bit more, and if you want to learn more about cover crops, about carbon credits, if you want to reach out to Michael, how can they contact you?
You can look at Mercer Landmark's website. My email is michaelw@mercerlandmark.com. You can just get a hold of me, and I can answer about any question you got. About cover crops, soil health, carbon credits. So,
sounds good. Now, Travis, if how else can they find Apple Farm Service and all that we do?
Oh, if you want to find Apple Farm Service, you can find us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram. Do we have a Twitter anymore?
We do not have an X anymore.
My bad.
Oh.
I just dated myself.
Oh man.
But if you want to catch Apple Farm Chatter, you can go on Spotify, RSS, YouTube, and wherever podcasts are.
Awesome. Well, from Travis, myself, and Michael, this was another episode of Apple Farm Chatter. We wish you the best rest of the day and happy harvest. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Apple Farm Chatter. If you haven't, subscribe today. Want more from Apple Farm Service? Like us on Facebook, follow us on TikTok, and check out our website, applefarmservice.com. Happy farming from your friends at Apple Farm Service and Apple Farm Chatter.